Good morning, all. We're dealing with a couple of tech issues here. Michael, I'll just go to my lavalier. You want me? He has handed me this microphone. Isn't this powerful? Dangerous. Okay. Do you want me there, or do you want me on my lavalier? All right. Thank you, and thank you for the tech people. The joke for the morning, besides all of the fun things going on here and the rain outside, I made a chicken salad sandwich. It didn't work out well. Turns out they prefer grain. How many of you have ever grown up with chickens? Okay, a couple, yeah, well, quite a few of you. Very good, very good. Back of the bulletin, you see some of the things going on to be aware how the office is closed Monday for the holiday, Memorial Day holiday, and the Memorial Day remembrance, and so we're in the midst of that. To be aware, a week following, we will be celebrating Monroe Matthias at 11 o'clock, Monday, the June 2nd. Is that, do I have the dates and everything right? Okay, checking with everybody. Other announcements. Debbie Gunther's going to stand up. Michael, if you have a microphone for her.
Good morning. I just wanted to say thank you for last week's Krupp fundraiser. I know it was a little, I didn't have a great turnout, but better than what I thought I was going to. We're going to get $43 from that. And in June, I'm looking forward to the June Krupp fundraiser will be BJ's on Alameda and Sable, June 17th, I believe. Thank you.
All right, thank you, thank you. Sandy Tinney has her hand up. And while she's in the midst of getting prepared, if you have an electronic device, this is a good time to silence those. I don't always remember to remind you, and I'm reminding me.
I would like the congregation to donate cookies for June 2nd, Monroe Matthias' service. If you just bring them to the church on Sunday or Monday, it'd be fine. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Diana Hunt has a note for us.
As everybody knows, three old ladies, and I say that nicely, I've been working hard out there in your gardens. And last Friday, we were here working to clean out here on the north end, and it was just a wonderful gift. Melba and I were working hard, and all of a sudden, she's gone back to do some changing the water and stuff, and I got a young man who came up to me and said, "Would you like some help?" And being the old lady that I am, who is not in the grave yet, I kept saying, no, I don't need help. And then I thought, yeah, you need help. So in the end, I said to him, "Do you really want to help?" He said, "Sure." So he helped. And in fact, recruited a second young man, and then recruited a third young man. And when I had to leave, they cleaned up after everything we'd done out there, which they had raked pine needles and pulled grass. And it was just a wonderful moment to know that there are young men out there who are willing to help out and do a good job. It just was wonderful. And also, I found out on this morning that Edna spent
Thursday
in the hospital when she was choking, and she got lucky enough that her neighbor was able to help her and get her some help from 911. What a blessing.
Yeah. Okay. Good news, yeah, all right. Debbie.
I forgot. I wanted to say, Aurora Interfaith, we need peanut butter and diapers and wipes. Diapers 4, 5, and 6, but those are desperate needs right now. Thank you.
I was thinking there ought to be a joke about diapers and wipes, but I don't. And,
Oh, you covered? Okay.
Diana again.
I forgot. When I was watching the races on Saturday, they told a joke, and I thought it was so cute, I just had to tell everybody. What kind of bear doesn't poop in the forest? Does anybody know?
I did not hear all of the
gummy bears.
Yeah.
Happy Memorial Day weekend. Wonderful, wonderful gathering. Well, we are gathered, and I turned off sprinklers, and God is watering lawns, amen? So God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Stand, if you will, say hello to one another, and let's turn to our call to worship.
So we're using the handheld mic?
Just, yeah, don't touch anything, it's picking it up just fine.
Okay.
So, yeah, you just laid it there.
All right. If you would remain standing for the call to worship. The Lord God is above all creation. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many coastlands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness are all around. Righteousness and justice are the foundations of the Lord's throne. The heavens proclaim the Lord's righteousness. All the people behold the Lord's glory. The Lord loves those who hate evil. The Lord guards the lives of the faithful. They are rescued from the hand of the wicked. Light dawns for the righteous. Joy comes to the upright in heart. And if you would remain standing for our opening hymn, Faith of Our Fathers, it can also be found in the hymnal, page 710, pardon me.
Be seated.
Today's first scripture is from the New Testament, page 259 in your pew Bibles, and it's from Revelation chapter 21, verse 10, and verses 22 to 25, and chapter 22, verses 1 to 5. And in the Spirit, he carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. I saw no temple in this city, for its temple is the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of the God is its light and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the rulers of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and God's servants will offer up worship. They will see God's face, and God's name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Debbie. Well done. By way of our prayer time, on the back of the bulletin, you see some of our concerns. Do we have updates on any of those items that you see listed there? I was going to ask Stephanie, is Kelsey in Bolivia now? Okay, so she has arrived in Bolivia. So exciting. Prayers and... Have we heard anything from Holly? Who of you have been in more contact with her than I have? No? She's a busy lady, so I'm not sure who's been in contact when, but we miss her in our midst. Any others? Any other updates on what you see on the back of the bulletin? And are there new concerns? We want to lift Edna for your choking. Edna, we're glad that you're okay, and we're glad for your neighbor that helped you out. So. Others, any other concerns in our midst as we're coming and gathering? I don't see any. By way of celebrations, I have the birthday list, and on Monday, Paula Freitag has a birthday, along with Jim Latow. On Friday, Lucy Tolatow has a birthday. On Sunday, next Sunday, Carol Danielson, you have a birthday? Reach forward. 85 years young. Amen. And reach forward and tap that fellow right in front of you on the shoulder, Joe Richardson. You two are going to have a birthday on the same day. Is that true, Joe? Sunday? And you're going to turn 85 also? Not quite. Although you are turning a speed limit, so happy birthday to you. And Monica, did you remember that his birthday is coming up? All right, very good. Any others? Any other celebrations, mile markers, achievements, things just of... If you have not seen the flower beds outside, they are just beautiful. And so take a look, take a walk around and see those, not only the flower beds, but the gardens, the land, the lawns. I'll get these words out. Words. So, all of you, thank you for all your good hard work. Anyone else? Anything else? All right. If there is nothing else on our bulletin, you find the unison prayer or on the screen. Let us read responsively. Lord God, you continually gift us. Lord, you have brought life-giving water to the land. We celebrate and give thanks. Lord, help us remember this Memorial Day not only just as an outdoor party commemorating the start of summer, but as the remembrance of those who lost their lives serving our country, as well as all the saints who rest from their labors. On this Memorial Sunday, we pray for all those who have passed. Lord, we lift our loved ones to your ears in silence. Lord, thank you for hearing our prayers. Lord, keep these in your beloved embrace. Grant your peace to this world. Lord, recall us from our distractions of faithful worship at your feet as we give thanks for all we have received from you. Amen. I invite you to a moment of silent meditation in preparation for prayer. Loving God, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, in creating us, Lord, you knew our weaknesses, our strengths. You know our propensity toward conflict. You have given us guidance through Christ to find ways to be at peace one with another, to love one another, to care for one another, and yet we continue with wars and conflicts, with disagreements, with things that separate us one from another. Lord, we turn to you, especially on this Memorial Day, as we lift our loved ones. And in this day, our nation remembers those who have given their lives in service to our country. We lift them for their ultimate sacrifice. We lift those who are serving. We lift those who are far from home, whose families are divided as they serve. We lift all nations struggling with conflicts, especially the innocents who are caught in the midst of conflicts. And Lord, we ask your guidance and your grace that we find ways to follow the Prince of Peace, even Jesus Christ. We seek to be those who would be about reconciliation and care and grace. And we see that around us each day if we will but look. And we also, Lord, are aware of those things that divide us. Help us, Lord, through your grace to find ways to circumvent those divisions and instead to unite in unity. We seek, Lord, to follow Christ. We seek to be the peacemakers, and we seek your will in our lives. Gather with us this morning as you always do and guide us, inspire us, lead us, and hear us as we come in worship and lift our voices in the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to take a moment and enjoy Colleen's offertory.
The second scripture reading can be found in the New Testament, page 112. It's from the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verses 1 to 11. Please stand if you're able for the reading of the Gospel. After Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley to a place where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place because Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas brought a detachment of soldiers together with police from the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that was to happen to him, came forward and asked them, "Whom are you looking for?" They answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus replied, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they stepped back and fell to the ground. Again, he asked them, "Who are you looking for?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you are looking for me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "I did not lose a single one of those whom you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it, struck the high priest's slave, and cut off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus. Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword back into its sheath. Am I not to drink the cup that the Father has given me?" The word of the Lord. You can be seated.
Or if you're going to help Stephanie and Hadley with our Vacation Bible School, or you want to get a little bit of aerobics, stand if you will, and you can be prepared for that. It is well with my soul. I think it's familiar to us all. So let's celebrate our Vacation Bible School song. I guarantee you that we checked this sound this morning before we began. But all of us can hum along. I'm sure we all know it. No, no.
You're watching Live 3 Kids.
There, we got it.
Whatever
Amen, amen. Thank you, gals. Larry, do we know what park that was? That could have been about anywhere. Anybody not recognize that landscape? So I always love trying to find out where they have done their videos. It's always a beautiful representations. And I love it, especially when they go to Africa right here in Colorado. That's pretty nice. Do you know what season we're in? You know the season, the liturgical season. Advent is that season. Let's see, that's the one around Christmas time, isn't it? And then there's Lent. That's getting ready to travel into Easter. You remember that one. And do you know what season we're in now? We are in the season of Easter. Now, Richard knows because not only is he very wise and sage, but he also does the banners, and the white banners are up because we are still in the season of Easter. And so we have to track that and keep, that helps us kind of keep track where we are. We will be in Easter till Pentecost, correct, Richard? Pentecost is coming. Are you ready? Tongues as a fire. We'll get there. But it seems odd, didn't it, that we're reading again this scripture from John. We went back to Jesus in his journey. Yes, this is following the Passover feast. All of the disciples had gathered. They have the beautiful, wonderful feast. And in the middle of the feast, he institutes the words of communion. And they're a little confused, but it was a good Passover feast and good food and good wine. And the disciples, they're really ready for that, you know, that nice nap. And Jesus says, stay awake with me while I go and pray. They go over to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples can't stay awake. They're sleepy, as we said. But this is coming now in the early morning before dawn, and Judas brought a detachment of soldiers together with the police, chief priests, and the Pharisees. And they came with lanterns and torches and weapons. And Jesus, knowing what was to come, came forward and asked them, whom are you looking for? And they answered, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus replies, I am he. Now, I'm going back to some of these scriptures because in the middle of the Easter progression from Palm Sunday through Easter, there's a lot of scripture in there, and we rush through it because we're moving to the crucifixion and Easter morning. And here is some of the scripture that we've rushed over, but it's full of information that we need to pause with. Whom are you looking for? And they asked him, and he said, I am he, Jesus of Nazareth. Now, we're English speakers, we're reading translations, but even the Greek, I am, ego I may. We've talked about this before. Ego I may, all right? And that's the phrase. It's an interesting phrase because you remember this fellow Moses? Do you remember him vaguely? He goes out and he sees the most famous person in the Old Testament, you know, arguably. And he sees a burning bush and he says, I must turn aside to look at this. This is pretty amazing. And God recruits him. Originally in my sermon I wrote, God drafted him. But, you know, I don't know that it's drafted as much as recruits because Moses has to be argued into it and he agrees. That's kind of how we are as well. God does not force us. God is asking us and urging us forward. But we must respond. That's a sermon for another day. Put that with a little tab and you can look at that later. But Moses is there and Yahweh says, yeah, I want you to go to Pharaoh and help the Israelites come out of Egypt. Moses says, whom should I say sent me to do this? I mean, by whose authority, what name shall I give them? Do you remember what God responds? I am. It is that same Greek, ego I may. Now, it wasn't Greek back in the Hebrew, but it's the same translation. It's the same I am. I am what I am. I am who I am. And this is pivotal because God is the great I am. And Jesus, what is your name? They ask him, and what does he say? I am. Pivotal. Think about what that means. And those in the know will understand. The others, the priests and the soldiers, they would not have understood what he was saying. But good students would have understood that he is saying, I am. The same I am as in God. This is the second part of the great Trinitarian whole of God, the Son gathered with God. I get all tingly every time I see him and hear him say, I am. Ego I may, I am. He is the Lord. This is God. This is the Christ among us. But there's more in this text. And we skipped over it, but there's more in this. And he turns to the people coming to capture him. I'm the one you seek, he says. Let all these others go. What a moment. All the disciples, all the apostles, we don't know if it was more than just the apostles gathered there. We don't have much reference on that, but they're gathered there, and they could have been swept up in this insurrectionist movement. And they knew that. The men were all aware that they could have been captured as well. But he says, let these go. This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, I did not lose a single one of those whom you gave me. Not a single one is lost. It's an important passage. It's an important statement. It's a Christological statement that speaks to them and speaks to us. Now, I know if you want to get technical, none are lost. And yet the apostle Judas, he is the one who, in effect, removes himself. He is the one who has betrayed Jesus, and he is the one who takes his own life. But it's a reminder to us, what a blessing to us, that none of Jesus' followers are ever lost. During the prayer time, a bunch of names ran through my mind when we were in our moment of silence. I didn't give you much warning to prepare for think about who you might remember on Memorial Day, but there were several that were on my mind, and one was my daughter, Corinne. We lost her to COVID. And it is a painful thing. She was young, full of vibrancy and life, and the healthiest of us all, and the most innocent in many ways. But she is not lost. She never was. She was in the hospital for months and months and almost a year before finally her body could no longer continue. And so she passed. So it was a release, in many ways a blessing, because even if she had lived, she would have been severely debilitated and maybe mentally compromised. We don't know. But she has passed. But she's not gone. We know that from our Christian heritage, that those who have passed, none of them is lost. They are all in the arms of our Lord. They're okay. And there's grace in that that we need to recognize and share with a world struggling. I see people in tragedy. I see them on the news. I read about them in the paper. Sometimes I meet them. Over the years, I've had to do some tragic funerals, memorials for young people are the hardest. And those persons, when they pass, the families are devastated and crushed. But there is some peace if they recognize they are not lost. They are at ease. They're free from this world into another one. They are beyond the veil. And that's something important to know. You see, there's a veil between this life and the next. Had a wise, wonderful friend named Mary Knutson who once talked about she had lost a son in his 20s who was killed. He was a lineman, an electrical lineman, killed tragically in an accident that was not his fault. And she said, you know, there's a veil between life and death, because if we saw what was on the other side of the veil, we would not be able to continue here. I mean, if you're so excited about what's coming up that you can't live in the here and now, you're not going to be able to do it. And the here and now is the place where we are and where we're supposed to be, and it can be a place of toil. I didn't look up the definition of toil, but it's kind of a fun word there, isn't it? We toil, and sometimes our toil is delightful. I know these strange women, and they go out and they dig in the dirt around the church. It's the strangest toil I've ever seen. They're hunting weeds, I guess. And they hunt them and they dig them out, and it is toil. For me, pulling weeds is not an enjoyable toil. It must be for them, because they continue to do it year after year. And so maybe it's a delight. The delight is in the result. Is that true, Helen? Yes, okay. Just thought I would try that. I am not a weeder, as you know. But there is toil. Do any of you know anything about toil? I worried for 2 years, 3 years maybe now, I've been worried about painting my house, and so I got it done this week. And it was toil to try and get ready for them, to try and get things out of their way, and then they did their work, and then I've been toiling to try and put everything back together again. My life has been upended, and yet the toil is a pleasant one in the respect that my house is now painted. That weight on the back of my mind is gone. So it's part of my bank account, but that's another story. Toil, which is that thing that we do. Sometimes we do toil and we resent every moment of it. It just wears us down and darkens our hearts and our spirits. There's a wise man, I don't remember who said it first, that find a job you love to do and you'll never work a day in your life. And some of that is true. I mean, I am blessed in that I get to read scripture and study it and learn from it. And I get paid to do that. And then come in here with these wonderful, all of you wonderful people, and we just have a good time. And afterwards we have donuts. It's a pretty good toil. There are days when it is a toil, when the microphones break, right, Mike? Or when things go amiss and the screen misbehaves. Have you noticed it hasn't been behaving in months now? I'll take what I can get. We've solved one thing, but a couple other things crop up. It's part of the toil. Life is toil. Some things are hard, some things we endure because other things are enjoyable, and life isn't so bad, but it's nothing compared to that which is on the other side of the veil. And we need to focus on our toil here and now, and we need to toil relentlessly and with all of our strength to do what God has called us to do until we can't toil any longer. Think about that. Think about how we are called. We have a mission. We have things that we're supposed to be doing. And one of those is making everyday bills. And one of those is getting through the commute from here to there, despite all the traffic detours and construction. And one of those is garbage that has to go out, groceries that have to come in. But one of those is doing God's work of loving our neighbors and caring and reaching out, finding ways to be good neighbors, sometimes around the world through mission, sometimes to our neighbor when you look outside and you see that they're broke down in their car and you walk out and say, how can I help? And usually my response is, well, I'm not much help with, you know, a modern car today. I don't speak that language anymore. you look under the hood and it's a mystery. So sometimes the toil is simply to say, at least I'll reach out. At least I'll offer myself without judgment, without condemnation. This is Memorial Day weekend, and we pause to acknowledge those who have been lost serving our country and to pray that we find another way instead of war. There are lots of ways that we can have people serve our country that does not involve those armed conflicts that are such tragedies and are such antithesis to the Prince of Peace. We will work at those. We will continue. But even in the midst of all of that, we pray for those who've lost, especially our loved ones who we lost. And we can rest assured, and we can assure our friends and neighbors of the good news of Jesus Christ that those who have passed are at ease. They are with the Lord. Christ has not lost any of them. This is the good news. Christ loves us. Christ loves our loved ones just as we are led to love one another. Amen? All right. James, may I recruit you? I don't know if I can recruit, but inquire of your good graces to come and lead us on hymn number 696. I think it's vaguely familiar to most of us. Amen. You guys seem to have heard that one before. You know that one. Wasn't that written about Pike's Peak? Wasn't that the inspiration from What a Joyous Thing? What a beautiful thing. Mend our every flaw. Yes, we need to hear that, be aware of that, both personally and nationally. But in the name of God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we are gifted to lead others to Christ as we are led to Christ. Amen. Amen. Join hands, if you will. Let's sing our closing.
Go now in peace. Go now in peace.
And God's people said, Amen.